Blog Talk Radio.
Mayhaps I could have got away on beat for you catching me. You remember that. You remember that all, eh? You killed me. You remember that. You killed me. Niggas like you just prove what the Peckerwoods say. We're just beasts. Willing to do anything. Kill each other. No mind. No feeling.
Shut up, nigga.
Leastwise, I ain't gonna die like you gonna die. Like a slave. I ain't giving no lifetime of misery and sweat to this Peckerwood. I'd rather die than be a slave. You Peckerwood, that's right. You Peckerwood was oppressed in your own land. We was free. And you brought us here. In chains. Well, now we here. And you just better know. This is just as much our land as it is yours. And after you hang me, kiss my ass.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to institute this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in the cosmos, where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a logger.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
No mind, no feeling. I never get tired of that clip, folks. Again, that was from Mandingo, 1975, with George Foreman, the boxer. Okay, Ken Norton, the boxer. Folks, we have a lot to get into. This is the Midweek and Review Show of AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk. The time, 7:02 p.m. The date, September 26, 2012. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. We have an awful lot to get into. For the first part of the show, I'm just going to give you my own personal meanderings. A couple of things I just want to get off my chest for the audience. Hopefully, it'll be an edutainment moment. A couple of things, and then we'll get into the discussion, the discourse. We have to talk about the NFL and the referees. We've got to talk about Ann Coulter and the blacks. Obama and Madonna with the black Muslim is in the White House. There's a lot to get into, folks. But before we get into the discourse, we have to groove. As you know, we play the best of urban alternative, which includes black rock, Afro-punk, funk, acid jazz, and classic hip-hop. Believe it or not, classic hip-hop. This is a gem, an unreleased, undisclosed gem by the great Rakim, Living for the City. And you know what? Let's groove.
Contaminated with aggravated brothers. Who knows where the love is? Growing up swinging through my upbringing. My limits is the sky from the all I've seen. So-called realities full of technicalities. I watch the steps, stay on my feet. Check for casualties, not to be played. Equipped with all the tricks to the trade. I even learn from the mistakes that the next man made. I know the tools, I pick the people I grew up around. I know to grow and get to know the town up and down. But there's no instructions, so many directions. A lot of crooks look to get hooked. Graduate from school but fail life in the streets. alive, nitty. It's easy to die when you live before the city. I go according to my environmental habitat. I hang where everything seemed to happen at. I seen it all, and I've been doing that since I was small. Catch a flashback, y'all, if I can recall the days on the corner we watched the world go by. All the nights that wasn't right, like when a good friend died. I quest for the best, but prepared for the worst. Never scared, but I cared if I'm blessed or I'm cursed. Cause I fear no man but Allah. I'm throwing my arms too far, which is God, so it's hard to see raw. I do what I gotta do, with or without a crew. Run through any obstacle, including you. I ain't got to bust you, because I got the muscle. I crush any clown to try to slow down my hustle. I got to get by, no time for no pity. It's easy to die when you live before the city. Everywhere I seem to roam is home. A rolling stone, I hold my own just like a microphone. I stay in tune, traveling harmony and set the tone. Yeah, I'm young, but I'm grown and well known. Try to take me out New York, but you can't take New York out of me. Cause that's the only way that I know how to be. My neighbors are jealous, they label us drug sellers.
Wow, folks, you know, I was trying my best to let that ride. I really was. That was the God Rakim. Living for the City, Unreleased Gem, True Hip Hop, True Lyricism. I think I might have been actually, I will confess, I think I might have been doing the Running Man, a combo Running Man, Dougie, and the WAP to that song. Again, Rakim, Living for the City. Folks, we have a lot to get into. This is Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. And speaking of the Captain, Captain, you're needed on the bridge. Let's get into it.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Satellite location, the dark side of the moon, the captain has arrived.
That was an extended intro there, Captain. It really wasn't supposed to go down that way, but
the director's cut. The director's cut.
Definitely.
Sound good.
Definitely.
Sound good.
You know how it goes, Captain. We have to roll with the punches, live radio. Again, folks, don't be scared. Feel free to give us a buzz. Call in with your thoughts, your questions, your protestations. You know what to do. Call a number, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. All right, a couple of things I wanted to get into before we get into the discourse, into the formal topics. A couple of things. One, Howard Stern. I was listening to Howard Stern. It might have been sometime last week. And although he is a comedic shock jock, he's been in the business for over 30-plus years. So as a radio podcaster myself, I will listen from time to time from a lot of different perspectives on the radio. I will listen to a lot of different types of radio personalities. So I do learn something from Howard Stern. And he had something that was put out there as a bit. A comedic bit, but actually this comedic bit is far more ominous than you would think. Now, what I mean by that is actually right before this broadcast, I received an email that replicated an email that replicated this very bit with one of his cohorts. I think Richard and I forgot the other gentleman's name. Anyway, he has two cohorts that go out in the street, a man of the street kind of thing. This time he went to Harlem, but he's gone to Harlem on several occasions, asking about the current presidential campaign. And the questions were not heavyweight questions. They were questions that one would think the average person would know. So this email I received, which again replicated this bit or highlighted this bit that Howard Stern did, it essentially was clowning, meant to clown President Obama for showcasing who supports Obama, who represents his constituency. Again, you're talking about lower tier folk in Harlem, and there are, let me be clear about this, folks. When I use the term lower tier, it's irrespective of race, culture, finance. But in this case, we're talking about a specific bunch of folk that are completely out of it. They do not know what's going on. And it's meant to be funny. It's meant to be funny, and it is humorous. But honestly, it's more foreboding that there are people out here that just do not know what the hell is going on politically or anything. So I'm going to find this clip again, Howard Stern show from last week, with the Man in the Street segment, with people being asked about President Obama, being asked about Romney, and it's scary, actually. Hold on. Let's get into it.
I don't know about that. Well-known fact, there are people who have missed every fact ever. Sal and Richard went to, I don't know where they went. Maybe they went to Harlem or something. They were asking people who they're voting for, and most of the people were for Obama up there. But then he started asking them for facts and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Holy mackerel. Nobody, like, it's fucking mind-blowing. Wait a second. I'm hoping they ran into a few people who knew what the fuck was going on.
Who are you voting for this year?
Barack.
How come?
Because he's doing good right now. He's trying to change the U.S.
Absolutely. And what do you like that he's done so far?
I mean, he got the Medicaid and all that, the medical thing going. I'm saying he got most of the jobs like he said he was. And he really improving, but he needs to improve more, so he needs to stay on up in so he can do more, things like he said he would.
Yeah.
Do you hope he will eventually find and kill Bin Laden?
He'll eventually do it, though.
You think he'll eventually find him and kill him if he wins the election?
Every person they interviewed, about 10 people.
They didn't know that Bin Laden was dead?
I'm telling you, I could play every one of these interviews. They don't know Bin Laden's dead over wherever the hell Sal and Richard were.
I don't think this guy knows what day it is.
Yeah, I know. But this woman, I would have thought, this woman sounded very with it. Listen to this.
Do you know who you're going to vote for in this election?
Obama. I just don't like Romney.
What is it about Mitt Romney that you don't like?
Is it that he's pro-choice or...
Yes, and it's just his general, it's him in general. I just don't like him.
Because he's a Muslim?
It has nothing to do with religion or what his views are. I just don't like him.
Do you think Obama made the right choice by choosing Paul Ryan as his vice president?
Yes.
Do you think he picked Paul Ryan because he's African-American or because he's qualified?
It could be a little bit of both.
And do you think McCain has a shot this time out to beat Obama for this election?
No. I just don't see McCain as presidential material. I don't see it.
What percentage of the vote do you think McCain will get over Obama this time?
About 20, I guess.
If Obama wins this time, are you hoping that we finally catch and kill Osama bin Laden?
Honestly, I don't agree with the whole war thing, but if we,
Do you think he should just go to jail then, bin Laden?
Yeah, he can be tortured, but, I don't believe in killing.
How long of a jail term do you think bin Laden should get when we find him?
It should be indefinite.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Wow.
By the way, I'm pretty sure you can find a bunch of white people don't know what's going on either.
Well, they do. You know, again, I told you that Nancy Pelosi's daughter did this documentary of some guys in Mississippi, and they were off the wall, too.
Were they?
Oh, my goodness.
This is some African guy, but you'd expect maybe he doesn't know what's going on.
Are you happy with Obama's vice president pick, Paul Ryan?
Yeah, because, you know, Paul Ryan have a lot of issues. Because anything the media show to him in the TV is not right.
Do you like Obama because he's pro-life? Is that one of the reasons why you would vote for Obama?
Yeah.
All right, folks, I can't take any more of this.
No.
I have to jump off of this. I have to jump off of this dumb train, Captain. What is this? Before you answer, mind you, last time I checked, it is the 21st century. We do have television. We do have smartphones. We have iPads. We have radio. I mean, you have smartphones. These kids have to be surgically removed from their phones, from smartphones. When you or I have conversations in the gym, we consistently, and our friend shouting out Sally V and others, when we have discussions and we go back and forth about things that we're not sure about, within seconds, in a nanosecond, we can go to our smartphones and get the correct answer. If we don't know certain things, how do you explain that they're able to do this, one would think, kind of an off-the-cuff thing in Harlem, and so many people are nodding their heads? It goes deeper than that. When he said that, what about Obama being pro-life? When Obama is pro-choice, and vice versa for Romney, that he was pro-choice when Romney's pro-life. I mean, this is not rocket science. When they refer to vice presidential candidate on the Republican ticket, Ryan, as African American, and it just went by them. I mean, this is something serious, man. These people need to be institutionalized post haste. Your thoughts, Captain?
Well, you see, not to make fun of the lower tier, so to speak, or the
serious.
Hood,
it's
or
serious.
The hood, so to speak, or white trash, so to speak, because just as he said before, just as Howard Stern said, I'm pretty sure you could find a lot of white people. It would be what we consider white trash that would do the same thing. This just happened to be mainly black people up in Harlem. Now, that being said, this is why it is called the hood. This is why it is called the lower tier, because your standards of everything a lot of times is just lower. That's just what it is. That's just what it is. That's what the hood is. That's what the hood is about. That's what lower tier business is about. That's what it's about. Does not mean that you have to stay at that level. You can elevate. You can evolve. But when you're at the lower tier, that's what you do. You don't know what's going on. That's the reality of it. You just don't know what's going on. You're just walking around like a zombie. You don't have to stay that way. It's not a constant state. It's not to the point where it's a caste system, where regardless of whatever you do, you have to be stuck there. You can read. You can, you know, get more educated. You can get active in the community. You can find out what's going on. You know, you can turn on the TV. You can elevate in many different ways, where you're no longer the embodiment of lower tier-ness. So there you have it, you know. Back over to you, Sir Afternoon.
Mr. Adams.
Yes, sir.
Welcome once again to Afternoon Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Listen, you're a friend of the show, so we're just having a little bit of fun. I know you are probably upset. And I'm not even that much of a sports guy per se, but even this debacle with the referees and the NFL, and from my understanding, they want to They want a penny pinch over four grand extra in the paychecks of these referees. We definitely want to get your opinion on this. I tell you what I want to do first. I want to play a clip of the Young Turks unpacking this NFL referee lockout issue. He does a very good job. Sink Unger, I believe, is the host's name. He does it comedically, but I want to play that first, and then we're going to mix it up. But we have to hear this gentleman talk about this madness, and it's so big. It's so big that Romney and President Obama had to weigh in on it. It's madness. So let's go to the clip. That is, if I can find the clip. Okay, hold on 1 second. Let's get to this Young Turks pontificating on the NFL referee lockout. Hold on.
The NFL referees have been locked out since June. The NFL owners don't want to pay them an extra $4,000 a game. That's what it would cost. Overall, for a weekend of football, $62,000. Now, I want you to understand something. NFL is a $9 billion industry. This is such an asinine and unnecessary move. You are jeopardizing an incredibly valuable brand. What? Just so you can crush the refs a little bit more and say, oh, yeah, we're going to pay you less than any of the refs of any of the other major leagues. All right, congratulations. But now you have totally screwed things up. And the entire country is rooting for these refs. Why? Look at the debacle from last weekend. They gave San Francisco an extra timeout. The Minnesota coach is like, what are you doing? They're out of timeout. They're like, I don't know. We just gave them another. Okay. The Saints game was a debacle. On one of the plays, before they went to the booth, they didn't even make a call on the field. What are you reviewing? You didn't even make a call. And then we had a Saints ref. His name is Brian Stropolo. He was sent to be the referee of a Saints game, except after he was hired by the NFL, they found him posing on Facebook in Saints gear. Fail. It's not just that. He brags about how he goes to New Orleans tailgating parties. He's going to ref not a random NFL game, the Saints game. So they had to pull him. LeSean McCoy, running back for the Eagles, says in the middle of one of the games, one of the refs said to him, come on, you got to pick it up. You're on my fantasy football team. That's a ref in the middle of a game. In his game. Okay? It gets worse. Last night, of course, Seattle-Green Bay game. What a debacle that was. And at the end, clearly, Golden Tate pushes in one of the worst cases of offensive pass interference I've ever seen. Pushes off, doesn't get called, clearly doesn't have the ball. Look, you can say at the end that they were both holding the ball, but obviously the Packer player had the ball to his chest, and at one point Tate had lifted his hand from the ball. He didn't have possession of the ball. The whole country agrees to it. What a terrible ending. And then they forgot to kick the extra point. They had to bring the teams back. This is a debacle. What are you doing? Over $4,000 a game? That's why this $9 billion industry is being this cheap and ridiculous. The Lingerie Football League is now mocking the NFL. They're saying, hey.
All right. It's a rather lengthy clip, but I think you get the gist. Let's get some knowledge from Mr. Adams and, of course, our own Captain Kirk. Gentlemen, what's going on here? This appears to be a bunch of mess and madness, a hot mess. What's up?
Well,
Captain, what do you...
Oh, I'm sorry. Captain, go ahead. You go first.
Yeah, Captain, what are your thoughts on this thing? Martin.
Well, I think it's a little more than $4,000 that the referees are fighting for. They're also supposed to be fighting for also their pensions and having pensions and a few other things. But what we hear initially now on the table, because that amount, dollar amount, what it would cost them to pay for the extra money per game, that is what has come out as of now. But it's a little bit more than that. Now, what people have to understand is the way that negotiations work in America. When unions are going back and forth, or non-unions are going back and forth with the powers that be are the people with the money that sign your checks. Negotiations always follow in this manner. If you're petitioning for your highway to get guardrails up, you're going year after year, listen, we need to have guardrails. Nothing happens until when, people? Until someone dies. Now, I'm not saying that's right, but this is what we do in America. This is how things work. Something bad has to happen in order to go forward. Now, you might not know about guardrails, but everyone listening knows about the stoplight situation that the parents have been saying for years, we need a stoplight on this corner. You go down to city council, and you sit there, and you go through the routes, the proper, you know, the paperwork and everything else, and they say, okay, this year, this year, this year. 5-6 years pass, nothing happens, and the kid finally dies where they were supposed to have a stoplight years ago. The next day, the stoplight starts to go up. This is how negotiations go in America. It has to get bad before going forward. Now, that's one side of it. The next side of it now is the NFL, just as they mentioned, is making billions of dollars. They're making billions of dollars. And not only that, what they're doing now at this given point, they're insulting the audience. They feel the audience has just totally been lobotomized and they do not see what's going on. They're telling the people that the referees are fine. That's where I get pissed off, because now you insult my intelligence. The people at home, maybe they don't know all the rules, but the fans do very well. They can see when you hand them a bad product. It's just like if you're going to buy a pair of sneakers. You pick up the sneakers and someone says, oh, it's the best sneaker. Yeah, but it fell apart in a week. What are you trying to tell me? Don't insult my intelligence. The product is not up to par. What the NFL is doing right now with these replacement referees is that they're insulting everybody's intelligence. The product is terrible. Terrible. Some of these guys have high school training. They're Division III players. They're not even Division I players, because Division I players, they're all working. The Division I referees, I mean, you know, they're all working. This makes any sense. This doesn't make any sense at this given time. The product is terrible, just terrible. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, you know, let's listen to Martin on this thing. I want to get his impressions on what's happening here.
Well, the biggest problem that I have, the biggest problem I have with the NFL right now is that, again, going along with Captain is saying, it's insulting. You know, the biggest problem is the fact that, you know, the Shield makes a lot of money. NFL is a lucrative business. We know that, okay? And to me, this is just a complete power play on their part. And to think that you can just throw anybody out there to officiate these games, it's insulting. I mean, to forget about a team having X amount of timeouts is absolutely pathetic. The debacle that happened in Seattle the other night was absolutely ridiculous, regardless of what some people say. You literally have some people say, well, don't blame the officials. I would actually agree with that, okay? You couldn't blame a child if he was asked to perform surgery, correct? The wrong people are being hired for the job. That's the problem. And you can't have officials that are not ready to officiate such a big game like this. You can't do that. It's just out of control. And for the NFL to accept this level is not even mediocrity. It's low. This is lower tier. This is lower tier from a football, from a sports standpoint. It is just ridiculous. And you know what? If I'm watching the WWE, I know what I'm getting. I know before I turn the channel on with my wife and kid that it's fake, it is acting, and that this is total entertainment. That these people are lying to us right now. You can't have a $1 billion business say, you know what, we have these people and we're going to do on-the-job training at the same time. That doesn't work for me at all. I mean, to you know, somebody said the other day to me, well, you know what, imagine how many times you've made a mistake on a job and how bad you felt. That's accepting
That's accepting failure. That's not what the National Football League is about. And that's just a poor attitude to have. And in this country, this day and age, as bad as times are financially, okay, we all know about that. The little moments that we have on a Saturday and a Sunday, you got to have it up to par. the little things that we have right now. And the joke about this whole deal is that all of a sudden today they're talking about this may be fixed by Thursday night. I wonder why.
Well, you know something?
Because people are threatening to not watch it. That's why.
Well, you know something? Conventional wisdom would say that a business that makes this much money, that generates this much money, that they would really be concerned with a PR snafu. This is exactly what we're talking about. I mean, I cut it off too early, but what the Young Turks were going to say about the lingerie league was that one of the referees was so bad that the lingerie league fired him, and the NFL hired him, and then it's no wonder he came up with a bad play. So if they're hiring referees that the lingerie league will not even tolerate, that within itself is an embarrassment for a $9 billion company. So something is going on here. And the funny thing is it's so big that the presidential candidates have to comment on it. Now, Romney commented on it, and it was even more comical because it goes back to him not being able to relate. When he talked about it, he mentioned, oh, yeah, well, my friends, one's the owner of the Miami Dolphins, the other one's the owner of the New York Jets, blah, 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 blah. That's not relatable. That's not relatable. I mean, his whole thing, no matter how much he tries, what is it that our friend Norman Kelly said? He has political autism.
There you go.
He's politically autistic. So it's so funny that this is even bigger. This is bigger than like some minor thing. And these are scabs. So I guess the fact that these scab referees are performing so poorly, it lends even more credence to the actual referees that, hey, you insist on having these imitations, these clones come out there. They're poor copies of the original referees, and this is what you get. But for some, why do you think they're trying to hold on to such little money in the grand scheme of things? What's that about?
I personally think it's a power move. It's a power move on the owners, and I'll just say it, Roger Goodell. I don't care, you know. Well, you know, it's the owners that run the league. Well, you know what? Roger is the face of the league, and that's why he gets paid the big bucks to get it fixed. I don't care. So he's the one that has to be held accountable for it, okay, as far as I'm concerned. This is a mess. This is a complete mess. I mean, to have a business this big and to put that product on television is absolutely insane, unbelievable.
Well, I tell you this much. It looks like, you mentioned Roger Goodell, it looks like he put out a tweet, quick, fast, today, as you said, and the tweet says that there's an agreement between the NFL and the NFLRA that is at hand, and both sides will work out to have officials working this weekend. So I guess they have to do something.
Okay, well, that should tell you right there, if this was not that big an issue, then why did he have to do a formal announcement yesterday? Then why all of a sudden we're starting to have a sense of urgency all of a sudden has been boosted all of a sudden. All of a sudden we have to have answers because people are saying, you know what, I might not watch the NFL on Sunday anymore. I'm sick of this, and I don't blame the fans. I think good for them, in my opinion. Good for them.
You know something else, because we're going to do a quick transition, Captain. But I heard that there was even a snafu with – a recently hired New Orleans Saint referee, that he was so braggadocious about getting the gig that he had a picture of himself on his Facebook with him in some kind of Saints uniform.
This is true.
Yeah. Well, it is true.
What's that about?
They fired him.
You get what you pay. You get what you get. That's the product that you go for. It's no different. If If life was just all about on-the-job training and, you know what, we're just going to let them try their best, if that was the case, no job would have a job description. You would just go, you just say, you know what, we got job openings, come on down and apply for them, and if you're a great guy, you'll get the job. These guys, they're not qualified. The speed at every level of football and any sport, not just football, the speed of the game changes every single level you go higher. The speed of this game is not is too fast for them. And the bad part about this whole deal, the players and the coaches, some of the coaches are taking full advantage of them. It's like the substitute teacher when your hard teacher takes the day off. That one teacher that you're barely passing, and you gotta take 2 hours out of every night to study just to get that C. And all of a sudden that substitute teacher's there. That is how this league is running right now. When have we ever seen so many fines by coaches?
This is true. That's true.
Only undisciplined game right now. How many almost breakout fights have happened within the last couple of weeks? You know, it's embarrassing. It's going to get to a point. If they don't clean it up, people are not going to want their kids to even watch this. Okay? And once you hit the kids, you got a problem. You want the kids to always be involved with your revenue, okay? Because they're the ones that, mommy, can I buy this? Mommy, can I buy that? Can I buy the jerseys? And all of a sudden, underneath, you know, your tree on Christmas, you got whatever jersey you like, you know? And now all of a sudden, the sense of urgency has changed. They're talking about by Thursday night or Sunday, it possibly can be fixed. And it's a shame that it had to come to this.
But this is how negotiations take place in America. That is the American way. That is the American way. Something has to happen that causes a sense of urgency, and then things get done and get taken care of the way they're supposed to be taken care of.
You know,
and if that sense of urgency does not happen, no negotiations take place.
Because there's a level of comfort, you know. Things are going smooth. We're making the money. And, you know, then they try to run these statistics about, well, if you look at the statistics from penalty standpoint,
that's the insult I can't take.
Captain, I'm getting angry talking about it. It makes me so mad. Because
that's
I'm shaking. Because
they start,
let me explain. They talk about how, okay, the amount of penalties are roughly the same. There's really no spike at all. You know, we got balance. You know, everything's balanced. Okay? You ever heard people that talk that way? You know, they try to blow that smoke screen with the balance, you know, conversation? Well, guess what? No two penalties are alike. Okay? If you had X amount of penalties last season, okay, take for example, pass interference. They say pass interference. The numbers haven't changed from last year. The same amount of pass interference. They're about the same. If you look in the secondary, which is the defensive backs, the corners and the safeties, for those that don't know the game, okay, you can have contact with the wide receiver within 5 yards when a play starts, okay? After 5 yards, you got to let go of contact. You tell me what's been happening in the last couple of weeks in this league. You have defensive backs have full contact with these players all the way down the field, which to me, honestly, I kind of enjoy seeing. That's a whole nother discussion. However, that's not part of the rules of the game, and they're taking full advantage of it because they know these officials are not going to call it. Okay, so the number you can't judge the numbers because the numbers are somewhat skewed because you're not dealing with an even playing field. The same people are not officiating the games. The only way you can do this same test study with the statistics, you'd have to have the same officials officiating these games.
Great
with the
point.
Same level of aptitude and knowledge.
Great point. Great point.
Okay, so that's another insult that I have, and I'm in the getting insulted camp as well. okay, because I'm a fan of this league. I'm a guy that I love this league. I'm not even going to lie to you. Football is a big deal in my life, okay? But when you come at us like this, man, you got to pay. And I think if it doesn't get fixed, I think fans that are loyal to this league need to take a stand. Chris Carter was on Mike and Mike in the Morning. He asked for suggestions. What can the fans do to make a stand? Because, you know, he was very adamant, as we are, okay? And I wrote them an email. I told them. I said, here's what, in my opinion, what the fans should do. Number one, stop buying NFL apparel right now. Don't buy it. Hit them in the pockets right now, okay? Don't buy NFL apparel. Do not watch Thursday night games. Skew their ratings. Well, let's check the ratings from last year from this year to last year. after we do that, okay? And people are so sick of football. That's an easy task to attain because you still can watch your games on Sunday, but you hit them in the pockets via apparel and on Thursdays. Because I can guarantee you. DirecTV will not be happy if the fans did that.
Well, listen, Mr. Adams, we got to go to a different segment, but I will say this much. If you're not good enough for the Lingerie League, enough said. if they don't want you, that pretty much – that's probably why that tweet went out as quickly as it did. That's a complete embarrassment. But as always –
Well, look how much – one more item before I get off. Look how much the players have to go through to get into this league. How they got to get poked, prodded, wonder lick tests, run the 4-yard dash, certain body weight, certain school, and still you may get cut. And then the people that officiate the games, well, we just call up a random list, and if they shake their head yes, well, we'll hire them.
That's crazy.
Living in America. As always, Mr. Adams, shout out your team. Chippewa Valley Predators, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's the website for our audience?
CVPredators.com. CVPredators.com.
I'm pretty sure we will be contacting you further along as this proceeds. This is going to be a drama. If it's not this, hopefully this will be resolved. I'm pretty sure there'll be something else coming down the line. So as always, we appreciate your support. We got to move along. We'll keep in touch. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Anytime.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Captain, let's go to a quick musical break. Okay. And then we come back. I got a little bit more on the meandering tip, and then we'll have to get into the topics.
Okay.
This is Super Heavy, Damian Marley, Mick Jagger, Josh Stone. Let's get into it. Let's groove.
Super heavy, yo. Come to the war, we don't know what night I've got. Never sell out, you know. horse tied up. Yeah, cause we heavy. We heavy, 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 super heavy, super heavy. Yo, from Argentina to Zanzibar, that round the place with this drum and guitar. Cause we heavy. We heavy, 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 super heavy, super heavy.
All right, okay, enough of that. Again, that was Damian Marley, super heavy with some friends. He brought along Mick Jagger and Josh Stone. Afro Radio giving you the best of urban alternative music. All right, folks, it's 7:46 p.m. Feel free to give us a buzz, 646-915-9620, again, 646-915-9620. Discuss more of my meanderings, and then we're going to have to get into the topics. I do want to actually play a quick clip of yours truly on Rob Redding. I will say I am a supporter of the Rob Redding Show. He is an independent on Sirius XM. He does have a style that I kind of dig. He has a voice that's one notch below being annoying. He has a voice that's one notch below being annoying. So he's able to ride that line. So anyway, on this particular episode, there was a talk about Barack Obama once again. And I can't recollect the specificity of the topic, but one caller came in and talked about Barack Obama not being black enough again. It went into this whole he's not authentically black. So what, you know, I take that personally. For some reason, it resonates with me. Maybe I was pulled to the side as a youth, and maybe I was told some stuff. You know, to full disclosure, maybe I was told some stuff in my youth as well, Captain. So I don't really appreciate it when someone designates themselves to be the arbiter of blackness. So anyway, I had to bring it to his audience. This is why you and I are deserving of a contract. Are deserving of a contract. I'm just saying. This is yours truly on the Rob Redding Show. Hold on, folks.
Wow. How much difference 4 years makes. Afro Nerd, New York.
Rob, how's it going?
Yeah. Good.
Listen, if I may, I got to say a couple of things. I grow extremely weary with some of our folk, and I'm not a guy to really try to do the tribal thing, but for the sake of this conversation, when our folk get into this deal about who is blacker than thou, this authentic blackness has got to stop. Obviously, for someone who calls himself the Afro Nerd, I think I know what I'm talking about. Clarence Thomas was raised in the South. Raised in Inkster, Savannah, Georgia, but became a Republican who married a white wife who is a high-ranking member of the Tea Party. The alleged quasi-black guy attended a super black church, blacker than one would say than long hair, no care, found himself a well-heeled black woman that many black men probably might not dig, and he studied critical race theory under Professor Derrick Bell. No black man is going to run a house called, run a building called the White House. If Wesley Snipes and Flavor Flav had a love child, that child would still have problems and would still hit a brick wall. I'll tell you one other thing that's food for thought. Rush Limbaugh you can count on your fingers and your toes and everything else how many racial comments he's made, and you brought them out lovely. Recently, he talked about this whole slave blood thing. I thought here, this is what you do so great about having black folks think critically. Limbaugh talked about slave blood. Mr. Redding, and myself, we have Euro surnames with slave blood. The quasi, quote-unquote, quasi-black guy without the slave blood has the African name. So we have to stop this nonsense about who's blacker than thou. We have plenty of minstrels, plenty of fake black folk that were dipped in ink and not doing anything. What I saw on Inauguration Day in 09, I was extremely proud. We all got into the emotionalism. But I also knew that there were black folks out there with their hands out looking for the hookup. And that's what Barack Obama is dealing with, looking for the hookup. Let's get real.
He also set them up to look for the hookup, though. You know, let's also be fair, and that's honesty, what we saw with the campaign. Hey, thanks for your phone call, Afro Nerd. We agree on a lot of these points, though. But it does bear noting, and thanks for your phone call.
All right, Captain. We deserve a damn contract. Usually he's far more hyperbolic, and I like Rob Rudding, but he's far more hyperbolic, far more animated. But when I come on the scene, Captain, when I come on the scene, I have to lay waste. I have to calm down that spirit. So I had to calm his ass down, frankly. What are your thoughts on that? And then we'll move along.
You slowed him down again. You slowed him down again. I have to do so. You did a good job. You know, you hit some very important points. You did very good. It was excellent. You know, but you have to understand something. The people have to understand. You know, you're actually in your moment because at that given time, you're actually doing the same thing that we do here on the show. So it's just an automatic. It's like the flip of the switch. So it's just 1, 2, 3. Now, the list people who are probably listening to their show, his show, might have been saying, wow, you know, this guy here is this, this guy is that, this guy is great and everything else. But we do that here on a regular basis here on Afternoon Radio featuring Captain Kirk.
it is like flipping a switch, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All right. One other thing, Captain. Well, actually, two quick things. Our condolences to the Williams family. Andy Williams, song stylist, I would say, balladeer, known for Moon River, Butterfly. He had his own show in the 60s. Just a terrific singer, honestly. Passed on, 84 years of age, from bladder cancer. So I was sorry to hear that. I believe we all grew up with Andy Williams. May not be your style of music, but I respect people who were of a certain time. I guess maybe of a, I don't know, a classier time. You know, it was a clash. I remember when, somehow time fly. I mean, of course, I wasn't of age, but I remember seeing the repeats of a young Donnie Osmond when he was around 5. He was 5. And now Donnie's like over 50 now. So how time goes. But he was 5 sitting on the lap of Andy Williams, and he was a very cute kid. And he was, you know, he's doing his own entertainment shtick at 5 years of age. And it's a very memorable segment of the Andy Williams show. So once again, he is to be missed. I wanted to mention that. And just one quick thing, and then we have to get to the topics. A young man paid visit to our Facebook page, and I want to implore our listenership to do the same. Check us out on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Afternerd.com. We really do appreciate that. Anyway. This young man, he did describe himself as a fan, so I support that. I definitely cannot lambaste him for that, but I must critique him on one matter. He approached the Facebook page and had a problem with me using the term lower tier. Many folks that are known, that know how this show goes, and know the backstory of the show and know the archives of the show. Even when the Honor Guard, Mr. Starks, was involved in the show. And Mr. Starks, he comes in time to time as a friend of the show. And also, he invented the term lower tier. We said we had a conversation behind the scenes earlier today, and we chuckled with the fact that it is his invention. It is his invention. So blame him, I say jokingly. But he brought this term to my attention. I paid attention to what he was saying. And I said, hey, you know something? This lower tier stuff is for real. It is for real. So he was commenting on a link that I put on the Facebook that showed an incident in Jamaica, West Indies, with mostly young women. One woman was walking around practically naked, and it wasn't sexy, folks. Normally I might, you know, find something in that, but it wasn't really sexy. She's walking around. These women are throwing boulders at each other, Captain. Some kind of neighborhood altercation. They are ducking, crouching, throwing rocks the size of baseballs at each other. So, of course, I'm going to say, hey, take a look at this lower-tier nonsense on an international level. He comes in, this young man, and says, I have a problem with you using the term lower tier. You know, we get this a lot. The first reaction to the term lower tier is it has a money thing. Not really about money. You can be of meager means, but be of a higher tier standard. You can be wealthy, like some of these hip hop folk that come from Brownsville, that come from St. Louis, that come from Camden. And they still, even though they can be worth millions, they still carry themselves in a lower tier manner. You can be from the Appalachian Mountains, obviously, lower tier white areas, and carry yourself as if you came straight out from a trailer. So lower tier, longtime listeners know that we use lower tier irrespective of race. So what really got me about this young man was that he said, listen, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said he took it personally, and I quote, because I am a ghetto person getting a graduate degree. That really broke my heart. Because if you're getting a graduate degree, young man, and you're moving up tiers, you're moving up tiers on the intellectual tip, on the scholastic tip, you do not want to refer to yourself in a third person as a ghetto person. One of my heroes, proud Latina from the Bronx, who I mentioned a lot on the show, homegirl of POTUS, of President of the United States, Barack Obama, his homegirl. She sits on the Supreme Court today, but she was formerly a inner city Bronx Project resident. She, I would bet you, is not going to call herself a ghetto person sitting on the Supreme Court. So take heed to what I tell you. Matter of fact, I'll try to make this brief. I even submitted a link to this on Facebook as well. I'm always referencing this book, Black Rednecks, White Liberals, written by Thomas Sowell. There's another book called 5 Points that talks about the history of the 5 Points neighborhood where Chinatown is today. 150 years ago, it was once known as the 5 Points in New York, and it was a notorious slum, world-renowned slum in New York. It would be neck and neck with London's East End. So you had lower-tier European white folk, Germans, those of Jewish descent, Italians, Irish, that were into, you know, Tammany Hall was coming around in effect, you know, as far as New York political, New York politics and the faults of New York politics, machine politics. But you're talking about white folks on a rampage, thievery, prostitution, pestilence, poverty. They would steal, if you had gold teeth, they would steal the gold out of your mouth. So that was the origin. I kid you not, Captain. That was the origin of lower tier stuff. So it's not that. Well, and you said this eloquently on many occasions, Captain. We have to get this mindset that you have to be wedded to the hood.
Oh, don't
I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Stop this.
Don't give
me stuff. You can't call yourself a graduate getting a graduate degree and call yourself a ghetto person at the same time. You know, there's many, many folks that I know personally, the captain knows about, that will tell many white folks, white friends that will tell you candidly that they lived in Brownsville at one time. Many of these inner city communities that we talk about now, Camden, Oakland, and so forth, they were white communities. It's 5 points. At one point was the crowning, and I mean that facetiously, the crowning location of white lower tier methodology. The founding, the founders of lower tier were there. Their offspring will tell you that, they'll tell you about their ghetto cred briefly, that, oh, yeah, I was there for a moment, or, you know, I lived there, or my grandfather lived there, but they never wedded to it. They removed themselves. They took that skin off to move onward and upward. So I implore you, young man, get your education, do the damn thing, as they say. But don't try to talk about I'm a ghetto person, you're taking it personally. When you come on this, when you listen to this show, I would suggest that you do not take things personally. We're trying to give you some knowledge, give you some information you can take. Take it or leave it. But it is knowledge. And you can look this stuff up. It is quantifiable. And it is qualifiable. But this constant, this ghetto meme, this ghetto trope, no, man. Be a young man of color obtaining a graduate degree. Don't get into this, well, I took the lower tier thing personally. Why? Why? It's not about money. Many black folk, many black and brown folk come from humble beginnings, Captain. We come from slavery. That's no more. That's the lowest you can be monetarily. You have nothing. But we have a president now. We've had governors and senators and congressmen and doctors and lawyers. Come on. Stop it. Ghetto person. I would defy Sotomayor to refer to herself as a project person or a ghetto person sitting on the damn Supreme Court. I don't think so. Anything else? Captain, well, quickly, Q Storm is in effect. I'm going to read something from him, but go ahead, Captain. I'm sorry.
Well, quickly, I would like to add, well, you know, Italian people, Polish people, and Jewish people, even though being Jewish is actually a religion. You know, some people will say it's a race, but if you actually check it out, that's really not really the truth. But anyway, all came through the quote-unquote ghetto. Now, people will say that obviously these people had white skin privilege. This is true. But the ghetto is someplace that you start off from and you look to evolve. You don't look to embody it. It can galvanize you. Can give you a lot of drive and determination, but you're looking to evolve. You don't hug the ghetto. You do not hug the hood. You're there because you're in an impoverished situation. Your money's not correct. Once you get it together, if you can get it together, you move upward and you let it go. Look to evolve. Look to evolve. There was a rapper. Actually, he is still a rapper called Hop. I believe it's Hopskin. Okay, I saw him on the internet.
I think it's
interesting Hop line.
Hopsing.
What's it called? Hopsing. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, Hopsing. And he said it's only black people that can't evolve. Everyone else evolves. What's the problem? It's like we're stuck in a merry-go-round. That's the line that he used. So it was really interesting. It's really interesting, and it's the truth. That's all I wanted to add to it.
And I would implore our listenership to pick up these books. Pick up Black Rednecks, White Liberals by Thomas Sowell. Pick up this book on the 5 points. It's called 5 points. And it talks about this. So you will be amazed. And, you know, there's such a thing as the Warsaw Ghetto in Poland, where many Jewish folk come from. The ghetto had references, was more of a reference to European whites than where it is today. A ghetto used to be a place. Now it is a verb. How does it go from being a noun to a verb, to an act, an action word? You know, being ghetto. This is ridiculous. Only black folks have done this now. Black and brown folks have co-opted the word, embraced it, hugged it, and now it's to the point of where it used to be originating from Europe, Captain, now we were from an actual place to a state of mind, a state of being. And it stopped at black or brown folk, but it originates with white folks. They took off that coat, they took off their skin, and they moved forward. In order for us to progress, you're going to have to do the same. So to this young man, read up on this stuff. I'm not making it up. And it is a precedent. We've seen other folks, yes, they have white skin color privilege, as the captain just talked about. But the bottom line is they did their time there. They will reference it, but they're not hugging it, and they move forward. You are fortunate enough to get a graduate degree, or you're working a graduate degree. Do that. But don't reference yourself as a ghetto person. Come on. Enough. All right. Captain, it's time to move along. We have topics. I want to talk about Ann Coulter, noted author, conservative pundit. She used this the blacks thing again, the blacks.
Whoa, she's crazy.
But you know something?
Do we have a clip?
Yeah, we do. I'm going to play it.
Yes.
She was right, though. Mm-hmm. I don't like the fact that she has this penchant for really referencing us as if we were some kind of like the Jets or the Yankees, the blacks. Anyway, listen to this, folks. Pull up a chair, check it out, tell us what you think. Let's get to it. Ann Coulter on the blacks.
You made kind of a provocative comment in your new book here, Mug, Don. I think it's on page 151. You write that various groups, feminists, gay rights groups, and those who are defending immigrants have commandeered the black civil rights experience.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that because I think it's one of the most important points of the book. I mean, I think the way liberals have treated blacks like children and many of their policies have been harmful to blacks, at least they got the beneficiary group right. We do have to, I mean, we shouldn't. There is the legacy of slavery and Jim Crow laws. We don't owe the homeless. We don't owe feminists. We don't owe women who are desirous of having abortions, but that's or gays who want to get married to one another. That's what civil rights has become for much of the left.
They dropped
the blacks after 5 minutes.
Immigrant rights are not civil rights?
No, I think civil rights are for blacks.
See, this is essentially the problem, and the Republicans don't understand.
What have we done to the immigrants? We owe black people something. We have a legacy of slavery. Immigrants haven't even been in this country.
But you see, most of us are either immigrants or are the descendants of immigrants, and
well,
we understand
everybody.
That we understand, not everybody, there are Native Americans, but we understand in this country, understand in this country that kind of self-deportation, making things so difficult for immigrants, for undocumented immigrants, that they have to leave, or the Dream Act, you know, vetoing, threatening to veto the Dream Act, which is what Romney has said. I mean, and again, we have Governor Romney, who is basically taking a position that is anti a large and the fastest growing segment of the electorate.
And here's the thing, if Republicans don't do something with immigration, and if Republicans are so far away from Latinos, they're going to lose not only this election, they might lose the White House for generations.
The future.
And Texas is turning from red to blue.
That's why the Democrats are dropping the blacks and moving on to the
they're
Hispanics.
Not dropping
because
the
they're a
they're
larger
not
group of Hispanics now. But
that's
can
not,
I just say, Phil
true.
Jorge, I hate to disagree with you when you're attacking President Obama. But I think the point on immigration is you can have open borders or you can have a welfare state. You cannot have both.
All right. Wow.
Here's the thing.
It's a new day. One quick thing. It's a new day when someone of her status, and I put that in quotes, someone of her status comes out and says something that is pretty – you know, listen, I will admit that there are things that Ann Coulter will say, even though she has a shtick. Let's not get it confused. She has a shtick that is very successful. She knows exactly what she's doing. She has mastered the art of saying whatever she wants to say, and she really does not get called to the carpet because – like Limbaugh, like Al Sharpton, like Reverend Jackson, there's a number of people who of different ethnicities that have their own hustle, their own race hustle, and we've become accustomed to this. But every once in a while, she will say something that's a bit, you know, yeah, okay. Your thoughts, Captain?
She just needs, when she says the blacks, just put people at the end of it.
Because for some reason, for some reason.
That's not her style, man.
Yeah, I know. But for some reason, it comes across like a slur. You know, it never really bothered me before with anybody else because the term is it's a regular term. You know, black people, the blacks and everything, it just comes across like a slur. It just comes across like a slur, you know, when it comes off of her tongue. Maybe it's one of those things, like when people say nigga or nigger. I don't know, you know, but there seems to be something going on with that. I need the people on the end of it. But I agree with her to a certain extent on what she said pertaining to black people are old something. America is so great, and also all of Europe, because they had slavery. So you had a big head start. That's obvious. But civil rights at this given time, civil rights is for everybody. That part I don't agree with. As she just said, civil rights are only for the blacks, you know, but black people are old something. We know that. We know this, Sir Desmond. We know this. We are old, definitely.
Well,
so that's
listen, Captain, see, this is the part that gets me, is that forward-thinking progressives should have this clip on a continual loop with Ann Coulter saying that we owe blacks. We owe the blacks. We owe the blacks. We owe the blacks. Heck, you could put a Waka Flocka instrumental backbeat behind it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Put it on wax on continual loop because, you know, many, many conservatives, as well, you know, really across the political landscape, but many conservatives will not owe up to the premise that black folks are owed anything. It's a very scary topic, very scary, and it's always to be avoided. It is always to be avoided. But for some reason, she sits up there and says, I can speculate. I don't know. Maybe she's got a little night visitor, Captain. I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, listen, I've been trying hard to get Jimmy J.J. Dynamite Walker on the show. I've been trying really hard, and they've been pictured together. I'm just saying. You know, maybe he's giving her some 12 a.m. Bible lessons. I'm just saying, because she's talking kind of grimy. You know, in the 60s, you had, quote-unquote, black radicals, the blacks, the Black Panthers, that had white girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And they were white revolutionaries. You know, and she came off as if somebody was tiptoeing in the bedroom at 12 a.m. I've never heard Ann Coulter talk that way. That, you know, she said, let's get into this. She said, the immigrants, we don't really owe anything. Women,
mm-hmm.
we don't owe anything. Heck, gays, we don't owe anything. But black folks, she said, between Jim Crow and slavery, we do owe them something.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's coming from a white female conservative. But at the same time, she had to say the blacks. The blacks. But that's her shtick. She always says something that's very brutal and blunt. I don't know what that is. Hey, didn't Donald Trump say the same thing? I'm friendly with the blacks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a very dismissive way of talking. And you, like you said, it is a slur. You know, I looked this stuff up because I know I have a natural sense for this kind of stuff. I think I have a natural sense, and on occasion I will do the research just to tune myself up to make sure I don't misspeak. And I was looking up one time derogatory words for those who are Jewish or those of Jewish descent. And just as I thought, you can't say Jew directly. If you say the Jew, or that Jew, or he's a Jew, that's considered to be offensive. It's very
mm-hmm.
dismissive,
mm-hmm.
and I sensed that. I always knew that. I always knew that. If I don't know how I knew, but I always knew that if you refer to someone of Jewish descent or someone who is Jewish, you don't say, oh, he's a Jew, or that Jew, or a Jew. Same, conversely, that black, a black, the blacks. It's very condescending and very dismissive. However, it's a quagmire, Captain, because she talked that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Folks, you're listening to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, 8:15 p.m. We only got about 15 minutes remaining. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. I think we should take a small break. I may have to cut this tune short. We'll see. Because I want to get back, and I want to talk about Madonna's funky behind. I want to talk about Madonna. We have a black Muslim in the White House. This woman's supposed to have a 140-plus IQ. What's going on? This is what she... With friends like this, Captain. With friends like this. Come on now. All right, folks. We're always giving you new music, different music, the urban alternative. This is Rocket Juice and the Moon. Lolo featuring Fatou Diawara and the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble. It's a lot to say. Rocket Juice and the Moon. Lolo. Let's groove. Something different.
Now I'm a dad. I wonder when my son grows, will his pants sag? Or will pants have the stomach be the new fad? In my time, there have been iPods and iPads. And this time, with every source, it's some flying cabs. Evolution, a solution that men have. No retreat, no surrender, no white flag. Charlie, I read, I see red flags. They probably get make pills for jet lag. By the hands of medicine, got setbacks. Bleachers bleach, I'm happy that they jet black. Everybody one heaven, nobody one die. Oxymoron in the journey to the skies. Catch your codes, I call to see your size. What if it gets bigger? That's an enigma. Somebody call the psychic or a sidekick. Ask where the tight drips. Will the winds to change bring pain or good shit? Will we clap our hands, still dance to bass rip? Used to daydream all about the beach. These days, dreams are on a leash. Think I'm Big Meech, Jolly Adi Lai, No Yawa, last show, last hour. Not trying to lose mojo, Austin Powers. Knowing I'm more gifted than baby showers. Sincerely, the joys and the journey. M da 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 da, yeah, you heard me.
Juice in the Moon, Lolo. Back in full effect, Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. We got about 10 minutes before we close shop, folks. Feel free to give us a buzz. Don't be scared. 646-915-9620. Again, 646. Why am I messing up? 646-915-9620. I want to talk about Madonna. Well, you know, actually, before I talk about Madonna, I want to talk about a friend of the show, Q Storm, took umbrage with us somewhat. I think he's thinking we're being a bit disingenuous, or if not disingenuous, confusing. He says, the only thing white America owes us is equal opportunity. I'm surprised on a show that talks about black dysfunction, which I agree with, that I'm hearing you say we're owed something. This is the deal, Q. There's a logic to things. Logically speaking, we are talking about – I'm all about factual data. The facts do state, for the record, that we're talking about 300-plus years of bondage where this country has been able to be the most powerful country on the face of this earth because it had 300 years of free labor. If you factor in the loss of culture, the loss of your language, the loss of your family, and sometimes the loss of your life, 300 years of that, then you can tack on another 80, 70 years of apartheid post-1896, Plessy versus Ferguson. There is something that is to be owed. Now, what I'm saying, though, is, and I've said this before, while you're waiting for this check that white folks will never write you, while you're waiting for the check that white folks will never write you, you still have to do for self. But I never said that there isn't a logic to reparations. There is a logic to it. Heck, many of the insurance companies that exist to this day, many insurance companies that still exist insured slaves 150 years ago. So there is a corporate component, there is a ethical component, and there is a legal component. Never said that there wasn't validity in the sense of this free labor plus apartheid that black folks aren't owed something. I'm just saying the likelihood of you receiving something from white folks, never going to happen. In lieu of that check never coming, get off your butt, provide for your family, take care of your children, become fathers to your sons and daughters, and so forth. Doesn't mean that the train stops because you're waiting for that check. That will never come. Captain, you agree with that, right?
Well said, sir. Well said, sir.
You know, I got it. 2 + 2 is still 4. It's still 4. All right. Let's go to this aging dum-dum. And usually I don't play the age thing. I usually don't. I don't believe in ageism. But in the case of Madonna, I've got a problem. You know, I don't even want to call her a talent. I will say she's a talent. She has a talent as far as Sean Puffy Combs has a talent for being able to market their personality for so many years. She's been able to market her personality for 30 years. So that within itself, I guess, is a type of talent. You know, we will see if Rihanna, who is probably of equal minimal talent, if she can lay down the splits, if she can lay the splits down and try to learn how to deal with her own marketing abilities, maybe she might stick around for another year or so. I don't know. Anyway, I want to play this clip, if I can find it, of Madonna with this whole Obama. She's supporting Obama. She's an Obama supporter. Okay, fine. But what's the deal? I mean, maybe she's being ironic. Maybe she's being funny. I don't know. But to call the man a black Muslim and you are his supporter is just weird to me. Hold on, folks.
Really weird comments from Madonna. Madonna, and I can't tell whether this is a parody or a joke. I know Madonna's an Obama supporter, but I got some really weird video from Madonna's speech that she gave in between some songs at her second night on her MDNA tour. This was in Washington, D.C. Very weird comments about President Obama being a black Muslim, so on and so forth. Take a listen to this.
Y'all better talk to fucking Obama. This country, and Obama is fighting.
Okay, so there's Madonna chiming in about President Obama. She supports Obama, I get it, but what's the black Muslim thing? Is it like a joke making fun of the birther movement?
It could be. I hope so.
What's your reaction to this, Natan?
It could be a joke, or it could be that she's kind of just referencing his dad's religion, saying, he's just like a Muslim by descent or something. Like, it's not even clear what she means.
It's very weird. Very, very weird. Earlier in September, she thanked President Obama and unveiled a presumably fake back tattoo of Obama's name. I assume it's not a real tattoo.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. In all fairness, I do know that there's some kind of statement coming out afterwards. She's saying, of course I was joking. Of course I was joking. And she's backtracking on it, saying, support Obama, blah, 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 blah. You know, I was just being ironic. So now now that some heat's coming around, maybe she was being ironic. I couldn't get the inference in that expletive-laden speech. She was cursing and everything. I mean, it is what it is. It's funny that a lot of accolades have been given toward Madonna for being of a high intellect. Not that she's formally educated, but this whole deal of her having 140-plus IQ has been running around for quite a bit. I was never comfortable with that. But they've been pushing it out there that she's some genius person. But that doesn't sound like the words of a genius. We got about 3 minutes, Captain. Any thoughts on this Obama drama? Captain. Okay, let me check this again. Captain, you there? Captain. All right, folks. Well, first of all, let me go to the chat room. Can you guys still hear me? Q-Storm. Are you still getting our mics? Q. Let me check to the – okay. All right, no problem. All right, somehow we lost Captain Kirk lurking in the shadows somewhere. Anyway, we only have about 2 minutes remaining, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen. But with this deal with Madonna, it's something that seems to be endemic with a lot of our so-called celebrities. They have a lot of money. They have a lot of access, a lot of excess. And they just cannot be trusted to say anything of any importance. It's dangerous. These people are dangerous on some level. This is where I do feel very conservative in my opinion. The conservatives have always – highly critical of Hollywood, that they put out some pretty nasty beliefs, that their whole shtick is a bit nasty. All right, folks, listen, we have a special show coming up on Sunday. We have a double duty, double matinee show, 6 p.m., 7 p.m. At 7 o'clock, we are expecting iconic bassist Andre Simone, one of Prince's main dudes, actually. Kind of favors Prince, by the way. Legendary producer, also was one of the early Revolution band members, one of the architects of the Minneapolis sound. So we're very fortunate to have this iconic musician come through. So that should be very interesting and very informative. I want to know a lot, respectfully, just how was this music created? So once again, Sunday, 7 p.m., but of course, for those who are into the comic geek stuff, we have Daryl B., myself, and the captain coming in at 6 p.m. discussing all things pulp, all things comic book, all things fantasy. So I want you to check that out as well. All right, folks, it's been an absolute pleasure. Sally B., thanks for stopping by. I'm going to visit the gym, I promise, after this broadcast. So anyway, let's go on out on something new. This is Jack Davey. No, you know what? Let me change that. This is Ruby Bell and the Soulphonics, my dear. See you on Sunday. It's been an absolute pleasure.